And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
What is up, Giants fans? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Big Blue with JQ. Tommy Boy's alongside here with me. And, you know, before we get into this episode today, something special happened last weekend. The New York Giants clinched a playoff spot, a wild card spot. And now you might have said that a couple months ago and been like, no shot, no way it's happening this year. But the New York Giants are playoff bound for the first time since 2016. And I don't know what to think about it. I mean, I'm amazed. It's awesome, but it's just I don't know. I'm speechless. And it's just been an awesome year so far that's just gotten better and better. Tom, what's up, my friend? Good to see you as always, sir.
Good to see you too, dude. I don't know how this happened. I don't know. The last 4 months don't feel real to me, to be completely honest with you. We were excited about the new coach, the new GM, the new regime, and everything. And we were just hoping for signs of relative progress and, you know, a definitive answer to the whole Daniel Jones question, and to see Saquon back healthy and hopefully, you know, become the player he used to be again, fully healthy. I didn't expect him to make the playoffs on top of all of that. So fast forward, Daniel Jones answered the question, answered the call. He is the New York Giants quarterback. Saquon has looked great all year, despite those couple of rough games. But he's back. And the team wins games. What am I dreaming? And you be my conscience for a second. Am I dreaming here?
I was honestly going to ask you the same question. Am I dreaming too? But no, this is all legit. I mean, I guess this is everything you wanted but did not expect going into this season. And it feels really good. I mean, as a fan of the team my whole life, this is such an awesome moment. Watching the game the other day was a spectacular feeling. I had a feeling they were going to blow out the Colts too. I just knew it. But I mean, you date back to the beginning of the season, Giants go for that 2-point conversion against Tennessee. Down one when they could have tied the game and took it to overtime. But Dable manned up, and he just went for two, and boom, right there, culture switch. That was it. That was the moment right there where something sparked. Something just felt different about this team. And we fast forward a couple of weeks. The Giants started off the year 6-1, and now they're at 9-6-1 right now with one game left against the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 18. But what it's just been an awesome year. I feel like everything has just been awesome. This roster isn't as talented as the other playoff teams, but with great coaching and a great GM, this franchise has changed, and it's just, it's awesome. It's great. Everything is great, Tom.
When you bring in a new regime, you don't exactly consider the playoffs as part of your initial rebuild, you know, year one, year two, so for some teams, even year three. You just don't consider it as part of the plan. I think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane did consider it part of their plan. I think Shane knew Daboll could, and Daboll evidently knew he could, along with his coaching staff, just do what they had to do to win a game. And you clearly saw that from the get-go. You already alluded to what they did week one. Doing that extra gamble, going for two for the win and not for the tie. Yeah, if they don't get it, they lose. But the Giants are supposed to lose games anyway. So when you do those gambles and you hit, it's like hitting on the blackjack table, dude. When you have like a 17 and the dealer's showing an 18, the dealer's showing an 8 and you're going to assume they have an 18 – sometimes you gotta hit and aim for that 4 or less, and you get it. And they've honestly done that for pretty much every win this year, besides obviously last week's blowout over the Colts. No win has come easy. And that just shows the moral of this season is the New York Giants are not a talented football team by any stretch of the means. There are players that are talented, but the Giants are not a talented football team, but they are a tough football team. And in the NFL, especially today, toughness and great coaching gets you to the playoffs. You can see that even with the Detroit Lions. The Lions are a year ahead of their rebuild, just like the Giants. Giants could even arguably be 2 years ahead of schedule. But the Lions are well coached, and the players play hard for Dan Campbell, and, like, you know, they're tough. Are they talented on every stretch of the board? No, but they have enough toughness where they're competing for a playoff spot on Sunday. We need to appreciate this year for what it's been. And yes, it's go time for the playoffs. But, like, I'm going to wind up saying it 15 million times. I don't even get goosebumps talking about this because it still doesn't feel real. Like, I don't know if it's because I've been working at ESPN. So, like, I've been at work during the game. So, not exactly sitting on my couch watching every single game. But it doesn't feel like it's actually happening in the world.
Tom, I totally agree with what you're saying, because I was watching the game the other day, and then that little, you know, blurb or whatever little at the bottom of the screen pops up and says, like, New York Giants clinched playoff spot or playoff berth first time since 2016. And I was sitting there and I was like, why doesn't this, like, and I was like, this is great. And, like, in my head, but I'm like, why doesn't this feel real for some reason? And it's just because of the year they've had this year. It's just been a special run so far this year. And like you said, tough teams, good coaching. They're hard to beat. Dables has said it since day one. It's hard to win games in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Well, the Giants have 9 wins right now, and a lot of people didn't think they'd have more than 5 right now. So it's been truly remarkable what Coach Dable has done for this team and completely flipped them on their head. A year ago, the Giants were running the ball on 3rd and 9 at their own goal line. And in a matter of fact, a QB sneak in the final game of the regular season against the Commanders or the Washington football team at the time. And the fans were booing. I was there. And it was the lowest I think I've been as a Giants fan. Fast forward a year, they're a playoff team. And it's a great feeling as a fan, because I know those guys work so hard day in and day out to achieve this goal. And it came true. And I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to go on a super long run. They could lose in the wild card round, you know, but I think they're going to be a tough team to beat no matter who they play. And that's what the exciting part is being able to compete with the top teams in the NFC, even though the NFC is not nowhere near the AFC, being able to compete in your conference is going to feel really good.
I was saying it to my buddy Joey at work this morning, because he asked how I feel. He goes, Giants are in the playoffs. It's hilarious how the Giants in 2016, the last time they made the playoffs, went 11-5. They won the division, right? No,
they didn't.
No, the Cowboys won. The
Cowboys won the division. But
they beat the Cowboys twice. That's what it was. Giants went 11-5 in 2016 and, you know, played very well all year, beat the Cowboys both games that year, the only team to beat them twice, obviously. But, you know, they had a weird energy around them all year. Some said it was the easy schedule they had. You weren't, like, coming out of every week like really confident, I want to say. And then the Miami boat trip happened, and then everything kind of came to fruition. Fast forward to the game, they never really stood a chance in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
That was a good twist on that. Sorry, that was nice.
Total tongue twister. Totally an accident. And then you look at this year, and they're 9-6-1. Again, roster-wise, nowhere near as talented as that 2016 team was. That team came off of a $200-plus million offseason spending spree by Jerry Reese. This team isn't that on paper, on the field. But what we keep alluding to with the whole toughness thing and just the coaching, the way they win these games, we actually have somewhat relative confidence going into the playoffs, to the point where the Stars, as of right now, have us going to Minnesota. A lot of other people, non-New York Giants fans, think the Giants will win that game. My buddy Maddie from school texted me the other day, who's an Eagles fan. He texted me, he said, if you guys go to Minnesota, we'll see you in Philly. And like this type of energy wasn't around that 2016 team. Yeah, it was 6 years ago. Yeah, you forget a lot, but could the Miami boat trip be masking a lot of it? Probably. But do you know what I'm trying to say? That team was so much better on paper and even in the stat leaderboards, but you never really believed in them that much. This year, you're looking at this team and you're like, I genuinely think that they can compete with just about anybody for a full 60 minutes.
No, I absolutely, Tom. I mean, you hit it right on the nail. This team can compete, dude. They really can. And at all levels, doesn't matter who they play, if the team's favored by more points than them or whatever. I know the Eagles game this year was a blowout, but that's the only game this year where the Giants got their behinds handed to them. That was the only team this year that took them to town. I mean, the Giants have been in a one-score game basically every other game of the season. And I know, get it, maybe a garbage time touchdown here and there against the Lions and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, but this team has been in every game. And we said it before the season, Tom, you and I. We said we want the Giants to be competitive this year. We want them to stay in games. Even if they don't win a lot of games, we want them to be a competitive football team. Well, they blew us out of the water with flying colors, and it's really been awesome. And, you know, someone deserves a lot of credit this year besides the coaching staff. Obviously, you know, someone has to execute the plays and run the offense, and that person's Daniel Jones. And I couldn't be happier for the kid. I mean, he is turning into something special. And if you're still debating whether or not to bring him back, I can't consider you a real fan at this point, because you look at other teams and how they can't find a quarterback or just keep going through the draft process or signing a free agent quarterback for a year or two, seeing if that works. Daniel Jones is a guy. I'm not saying he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but he's playing like a top 10 quarterback, top 15 quarterback right now. And you cannot deny that. This guy has carried this team week in, week out. He's been healthy this year and he's put the offense on his back. Really. He has elevated the talent around him. And I'm proud of the kid. I'm proud of the kid. He's going to earn his money this year. And I'm telling you that right now.
He had seven. We said it coming into the year. He had 17 games to prove to the front office, the coaching staff, the rest of the team, and the entire fan base, including you and I, that he's meant to be here, and he should come back, and he did that. He did that and more. You don't have to be the best team. You don't have to be the best quarterback in the NFL to be a good quarterback in the NFL. People think, and it's what the world is. People think that Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen grow on trees, and that you can easily just draft one every single year. Those quarterbacks are a dime a dozen, needle in a haystack. You're very much more likely to miss on a quarterback than you are to hit a Mahomes, Burrow, Allen-esque quarterback. So why not get a guy that can manage a game, not mess up? Not mess up is the key. You can be, if Daniel Jones is, no, if let's say his passing yards and passing touchdowns go up 20%, but you add 10 turnovers to his stat line, the Giants aren't going to the playoffs if that's the scenario. The Giants stayed in those games because Daniel Jones just didn't turn the ball over. He didn't have those horrible fumbles. He wasn't making bad throws that were interceptions. That kept him not messing up, just flat out kept them in games. And then when you have a coach like Brian Daboll who knows how to gamble last minute to try and pull out a win, you win the games. And honestly, the last month he's played out of his mind. He threw for over 300 yards against the Vikings. And I think just for me, It's not because, again, like you know how the Giants work. They're never on NFL red zone. It's only like the ends of the games when Scott Hansen starts talking about them. Their game, because their games aren't that back and forth. So Daniel Jones doesn't exactly light up the red zone channel every single Sunday like a Patrick Mahomes would. But for me, just like I just stare at the turnover column all day, and just seeing how small that number is, because for the 30th time, the coaching staff having him fix just simply the turnover issues is the reason they're in the playoffs. If Daniel Jones was the quarterback of the Jets would have clinched a playoff berth a month ago. I'm not the only person that said that. Don LaGreca on Michael Kay Show has said that. A bunch of other analysts have said it because, you know, it's New York. You're always comparing the other teams to each other. With everything that's gone wrong with the Jets the last month and some, if you Daniel Jones was the quarterback of that team, they've been in the playoffs for weeks. And that just shows how much he contributes to his team when sometimes the box score might not show it.
You know, Tom, you said it perfectly right there.
I'm on a roll today.
You are on a roll, and I'm absolutely loving this. I'm soaking it all in right now, just thinking about it. And listen, he, like you said, might not light up the stat sheet, might not do anything crazy. I mean, you look at the game against the Colts. Look how consistent it is. Look how consistent this is. 19 for 24, 177 passing yards. He completed 79% of his passes, and he had two throwing touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns. He had a QBR of 96.9. That's the highest out of any quarterback in the NFL so far this season. These last 3 weeks, he's been phenomenal, and it's really starting to click. Mike Kafka's definitely opened up the playbook more. They've been dialing up more plays downfield, taking more chances. And listen, I think it all, like, you know, dates back to that Sunday night football game in DC against the Commanders when they went for it on 4th and 9. I think that's when the coaching staff really knew what they had in Daniel Jones and trusted him to pick up that first down in the biggest game of the season. And, you know, you can go in the half, kick a field goal, whatever. Obviously, there was more time still left in the quarter, but you get another 7 points on the board there. That made the difference in that game, and it was special. And, you know, he's been nothing but special this year. He's exceeded all expectations, and I'm really happy for the kid. I mean, he is the leader of that team. And Saquon said it the other day. He says he always gets there pretty early in the morning, but there's always someone there before him, and it's always Daniel Jones, and he's always the last one out of the building. The kid just comes to work. He does his job. He's perfect for the New York media. Doesn't say much, keeps his mouth shut, just charges straight forward, puts his head down, and grinds. And, you know, that's all you can ask for in a quarterback. And it's been a lot of fun this year. So, and, you know, as we look ahead to this week 18 matchup against Philly, Giants could go out there and play everyone or do whatever, and they can also go out there and rest everyone. They are locked into the sixth seed, the wild card spot. And as, like you said before, Tom, they are, as of right now, if the season ended today, they'd be locked in to playing the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, which is a matchup I think all Giants fans want. And everyone's seen how Minnesota has played this year. They haven't, they're not a good 12-4 team. Get it? No. It's not easy to win in the NFL. They definitely have earned a lot of those wins, but the Giants hung with them on Christmas Eve. And honestly, they should have won that game. They really should have. But this has been a special season, and I'm really looking forward to a playoff game. I mean, we could talk about this Colts game, how they blew them out. They won by 28. Daniel Jones, like we said, looked great. I mean, there's not much more you could say about the kid. It's been awesome. And the Colts are, I know they're a dumpster fire. I know what those fans are feeling, because we've been feeling that pain for the last 5-6 years. So,
yeah. Did you see all the stuff that came out this week about what Brian Daboll did with Daniel Jones in training camp?
Yeah, what do you think about that? Explain that to some people.
I thought it was freaking awesome. So there, a report came out yesterday that Brian Daboll would pretty much fix practices during, you know, training, OTAs, training camp, all those practices. He would pretty much fix practice. He would fix the plays. He would fix it so Daniel Jones would fail at practically everything he did, and Tyrod Taylor would succeed, strictly as a mental test. He wanted to see from the get-go how Daniel Jones responded to it. Would he throw fits? Would he lash out? Would he check out and lose the job and not fight to get it back? Brian Daboll said from the get-go, Daniel Jones did not waver, and he did not budge. He would get mad only at himself in that he wanted to fix whatever was going wrong, which again was everything as planned by Daboll. He wanted to fix all of that and to get better and help the team get better. So, and you can watch all the replays that are on Twitter of the close-up shots. The way Daboll just looks at him on the sideline, that's his guy. There's head coaches that come to teams that, you know, it's a quarterback that's been there for a while. Sometimes we've seen it's even a relatively good quarterback, but the head coach, they don't get along, and it's not his guy. You know, sometimes it's the GM's guy, but it's not the coach's guy. Rarely do you have a first-year GM and a first-year head coach like the Giants have. So everyone was wondering, you know, is Brian Daboll going to eventually want to go get his guy? He's already got his guy. And it's not a situation where you can kind of read that he's you know, being nice and going along with it just to get through the season. That's his this is his guy. Daniel Jones is his quarterback. And you can and just it's the way he is. He's not going to him what would benefit the team coming off a year they made the playoffs to start from scratch at quarterback, teach a whole new guy the system. That's not how he works. And the amount of positive outpour that's come out about Brian Daboll the last few weeks, you hear reports of him, you know, acknowledging and talking to almost all the reporters in the media room for the pressers, you know, being personable with all of them. Erin Andrews shared an awesome story about him on her podcast. The podcast she was on, it's about him basically explaining to her why he says hello to every single employee at the facility. And he was just, long story short, he knows that, you know, saying hello goes a long way. Saying hello back, you know, so like if you say hello to him in the hallway, him saying hello back and not just kind of waving you off and pushing about his day. He's a people person. And people, I guess the plural of people person would be people. People that know people and people that get people go far in football, because football is a people sport. It's one of the most communicative, everyone's got to be on the same page types of sports in the world. Daboll's the guy. Daniel Jones is his guy. And that's why they're in the playoffs. Can you think about how, worst case scenario, how bad this year could have went if Daniel Jones was a head case and the two of them didn't get along by week three?
Or not even like a head case. What if he just wasn't good? Like, what if he couldn't pick up on the offense?
Yeah, what if he inevitably was what all the haters want him to be and is a bad quarterback? And what does he do? He puts Tyrod Taylor in, which obviously isn't a long-term answer. And then this entire year is yet another wash, and me and you are probably talking about the draft right now.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah. Nightmares I'm getting right now. Flashbacks of doing mock drafts to like 3 a.m. in my college houses, thinking about who the Giants could land in the next couple months and just being like, all right, who's in the playoffs this year? What's my Super Bowl pick? This is definitely a great feeling, man, as a fan. And you know, as a first year season ticket holder, it's been nothing but just an awesome time at the stadium. You know, the fans are definitely all back into it. Everyone's bought back into this new system. Not only the players, not only the coaching staff, but the fans have as well. And it's been really awesome to see. And you know, my favorite, I think, moment from this year was watching Daniel Jones take over that game against the Colts. Like, he was a dominant force in that game, and he literally took Saquon out of the game himself. Like, there was no need to use Saquon. Like, Saquon had, I think, 58, 60 rushing yards. He had some nice big runs too, but it's like Daniel Jones did it all the other day, and that's what I think a lot of fans have been waiting to see. People still will hate on him because that's how sports work and that's how just life is. And they're like, oh, he's not throwing for 697 yards each week, so he's not a QB1. You know, like, mm-hmm. I get it. There's guys like Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, who make throws that some of the quarterbacks and majority of the quarterbacks can't make in the league. But Daniel Jones, he's got a strong arm. He's consistent. He's not turning over the ball. He just does everything right. And he's definitely playing with a lot of confidence right now. And that's why I'm confident with him going to the playoff game. I don't think he'll be phased in the playoffs. I think he's a guy, like you said, what Dable did to him. He's just him. He just does what he does. And he just goes to work every day. And it doesn't matter what happens. It could be a tsunami. I think Daniel Jones would still be completing passes in a tsunami somehow. I know it doesn't sound right, but you know, you get what I mean by that.
No, you gotta take the year he had just by the bits and pieces. He has a 60.4 QBR. That's ninth best in the NFL quarterback rating. He has a 67% completion percentage. That's seventh best in the NFL, tied for sixth. Sorry. He's thrown for a little over 3,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, and just 5 interceptions. If that number is, instead of 15-5, is like 15-12, again, the Giants aren't in the playoffs. The Giants are, I don't know, 5-10 and 1. You know what I mean? Just not the difference of him just not turning the ball over has not only won them games, but as you just alluded to, it's given him confidence, and being able to drag confidence week into week into week, and having it build up to almost a month's worth of confidence building. It's a completely different quarterback. It's a completely different man, and that's why he hasn't sniffed a playoff game before. But in 2 weeks, or whenever the NFL winds up figuring out all their scheduling, whenever the playoffs begin, that's going to be his first playoff snap, and he's going to be ready. He's got that. I said it his rookie year. It was more for when, like, he would get knocked down after a throw because he had no time to run a play because the line was so bad. When he gets like knocked, when he throws it, gets knocked down and comes back up. I always said the 8 looked a lot like a 10. Just the way he carries himself reminds you a lot of Eli. Just again, quiet, just like a, you know, just stop, quiet dude that just plays quarterback for the New York Giants. And that's what I think we're going to see. Now, obviously, that's giving a lot of hype because Eli Manning had two of the greater playoff runs ever. But, you know, like, just like all said and done, even if they lose in the wild card round, if they play well, and me and you wind up on the phone, like, you know what, like, they played pretty damn hard that game. The season's a win. It's already a win because they made the playoffs, but it almost makes like next year already a win, because this is playoff experience for Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Andrew Thomas, Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, Xavier McKinnon, Evan Neal, every young player on this team, which is pretty much the entire team. They're all going to get 60 minutes of playoff experience that bleeds so much into the next season.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, I'm just looking forward. You know, I know the NFL's it's been a rough couple of days with the NFL, with DeMar Hamlin and his scary moment down in Cincinnati last week. So prayers to obviously him and his family. You know, that was one of the scariest things ever. So, you know, prayers for him. I hope he gets better, you know, because at the end of the day, Tom, we always talk about it. And I always, like, you know, like, everyone knows how much I love football and I love the Giants. It's because I care about the players too. It's not just because of the team. Like, I care about these guys more than they are athletes, you know? So it's really cool, obviously, to see them win, but it's, you know, health is the main concern, and these guys risk their lives every day. And, you know, everyone kind of saw that the other day for the first time. So it was a very scary moment. You know, prayers once again out to him and his family. And hopefully, you know, he fully recovers from that scary incident. So, but listen, Tom, I mean, that's all I really got, man. I wanted to end it on that note. Giants season has been a success. Making the playoffs is a success, but the job's not finished. And Dable said that, you know, the goal wasn't just to make the playoffs, you know, like, crazy. Oh, like, congrats, you made the playoffs, but We're not just going to turn over and be like, that's it. Like, this is what we wanted to do this year. Our goal was just to make it. Who knows? They might turn some heads. I mean, Minnesota's a very beatable team. And Minnesota just lost two of their offensive linemen for the rest of the year, putting them on IR. So this is, you know, this is a Giants team that pressures the quarterback and does it pretty damn well with Wink Martindale. Also, another guy, great guy. Love him to death. You know, so this is a lot of fun. And, you know, whatever happens the next couple of weeks, we'll just take it with punches and see whatever happens with the Giants. But they'll be ready. This roster will be ready. And hopefully they turn some heads, because I think they've definitely, you know, came out of the darkest era of their franchise, I feel like, in the past couple of years. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Like, I went through all of college just like I think they might have had less than 15 wins in like 4 years. Like, it was
the last time it was really that bad was the early 80s leading up to when they inevitably drafted Lawrence Taylor. That's all, like, you know, any of the obviously older fans that I am close with that were around in that time, that's all they pretty much say that, like, this has been like. And you all, like, you almost don't even, like, 2016 doesn't even feel real. Like, that's how bad the 2-3 years before and the years since then were. That one shot in the dark year, that with all the drama with the boat trip and Odell punching the wall after the game, and again all that drama surrounding that year, it doesn't even feel real. That's why it feels like the Giants haven't had an important game since the Super Bowl 11 years ago. So it's just so cool that for the first time since this podcast has existed, we get to preview a New York Football Giants playoff game next week.
Yeah, so that's pretty damn cool. I didn't even think
we
about
deserve
that.
It. We were due for all those doghouse Monday evenings in my pickup truck, where the only place there was some quiet to record, and we really didn't even need quiet, because all we just said every week was, you know, they're young, they're rebuilding. All we can hope for is that they develop week to week. We're past that. We're past that. Identity is gone.
The problem with those, like, episodes, though, is, like, they'd hang around in games and it'd give me.
Yeah. I think they were like 1-9 in like one score games.
They gave me so much hope some games, and they'd be winning and then bam, 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 lose, 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 lose. And I was like, I don't know if I could take this much longer. It was really getting to me. But I mean, it was all worth it. And, you know, you've been doing this podcast with me probably now for 2 years. I think I've been doing it for 3 years now, give or take.
I joined it early
senior year.
So this is season 3.
Yeah.
Cause we did it that year. We did it last year and we did it this year. So this is season 3. Yeah, Third time's the charm,
I guess, for everything, really. So, but listen, we got a lot to look forward to. We'll figure out what the Giants are going to end up doing with this Eagles game. Are they going to play guys for a half?
He pretty much said that he's going to do whatever's best for the team. Yeah. Everyone's reading that as they're not going to play anybody. The game means absolutely nothing. And this is another pro Brian Daboll tidbit. He's not the coach that's going to risk any of his players getting hurt just to help the Cowboys, or, you know, help spoil the Eagles and help the Niners or whatever. That's not what it's about. They did their job, which was to clinch a playoff berth before the last week of the season, to the point where, imagine I told you a month or 2 months ago that the second game against Philly wouldn't even matter.
I wouldn't believe it. And you know what? It almost did. If the Giants and the Commanders didn't tie that week on December 4th, and let's say the Commanders went on to win that game, they wouldn't have, if they beat the Colts, the Giants this weekend, they wouldn't have clinched.
Yeah,
they would have had one more game to do. So I guess the tie worked out pretty damn well.
That tie completely changed things, because it made the second matchup 2 weeks later even more powerful, because the winner of that game, it didn't matter who it was, the winner of that game, their playoff chances went to 90%, and the loser went to less than 20.
Yep.
And clearly you saw what happened. The Giants really just had to win one of their next three games, and the Commanders basically had to win out. They didn't, and they're already eliminated. It just shows, like, yeah, that tie sucked in the moment. You would know you were at the damn game.
Yeah.
But hindsight 2020, shoo, was that nice.
Yep. No, it definitely was, man. Definitely was. It all worked out. And yeah. I mean, you look at a team like Washington, they're definitely more talented than the Giants, but better coaching definitely pulls a long way. So, Tommy boy, listen, this is fun. Congrats to all the Giants fans out there.
They're going to the dance, baby.
Yeah, the New York Giants are going to the dance for the first time since 2016. You got to feel pretty damn good about that. So, Giants fans, we'll catch you on a little. We'll do a post game recap slash a little, of course, a preview for the playoff game. We have to be there for that. You know, life is interesting. You can't always do what you want because you have big boy jobs now and different schedules and stuff. Because Tom's been working a lot of mornings and I work nights, so it's been all over the place, but. We'll be here for that, especially because that's a big moment for us. So, guys,
we'll be here.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon.
See ya.